Okay, so hey, welcome to the Park Rex podcast. Today we're talking with Dr. Perry Eggleston from UC Davis, a good friend of mine that I've been engaged with in the industry for quite some time. Hey, Perry, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. Well, we like to start the podcast off by asking the question, what's your origin story? How did you get into parking and how did you end up at UC Davis?
Well, I first started, I'm a retired police sergeant from a university campus in Bakersfield, California. And while I was there, I found my niche in parking. And in about 2008, my wife and I decided to go work overseas in Afghanistan. And we worked there as humanitarian workers for 2 years. When I came back, I wasn't interested in getting back in law enforcement, and parking was hiring at the time. And they're looking for people with experience. So I was able to hook up with Gary Means in Kentucky there for a year. And I went a couple of years at the Montclair State University in Montclair, New Jersey. Got a gig as a director of parking and transportation at University of Texas Arlington. From there, got picked up by SP Plus, worked a little bit in Fresno, California. But then mostly what I did was consulting work in the university market on operations. And then when this opportunity came up, it was a unique opportunity at UC Davis. And it was I thought it was a good opportunity to show my skill set in operationalizing a transportation demand management program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm pretty fascinated by the TDM program that you have there. Now, we've talked about this a little bit before through some of the IPMI stuff, but you somewhat inherited kind of a new approach to mobility and TDM. What did that look like when you arrived on campus?
Well, when they were advertising for the job and doing the interviews, it mostly focused on this, what they call transit, what we're calling now, transportation tomorrow. And it was a 2-year consulting effort that prior to my arrival came in and did a massive analysis of what the campus is going to look like now, what it's going to look like in the future, and then provided 10 recommendations. And so at the campus, when they were interviewing, was, hey, you know, we've got this transportation tomorrow, what can you do with it? And so one of those included technology, and the other one included daily rates. And there were several other areas that were encompassing. But again, they just asked me to come in and operationalize. And so I thought this was just a deal I couldn't pass up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it's you kind of walk into like a Christmas morning type thing with those types of things. I mean, I know we've worked together on the consulting side of things, and these are the things we've been preaching for years. And so to walk into a place that's ready to do it. Now, when did you start at UC Davis?
January of 2020, two months before in the old days.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Pre-COVID.
Before times.
PC, you know, right. So, well, and so, what was the timeline like to move into beginning to implement some of these TDM things? Was it an immediate thing, or were you going to try to spread this out over a few years?
My initial process had us starting about now if things would have remained normal. And it would have been a much slower process. We would have brought in technology first, got that working and operating, and then start looking at transitioning to a daily rate. And, So this would have been a 2 to 3 year effort starting now, going through 2024, 2025. When the when the pre-COVID shut down, I mean, the first thing my boss and I looked at each other and says, why not? We already had the money set aside for the technology. So it wasn't that we were dipping into our draining revenues. We already had saved the money for it. And so we just said, let's just make it now. And so we began the process. We had several months where we weren't charging anything. So I had a lot of time to really focus on operationalizing what a daily rate system would look like. Not very many campuses across the nation do it. You have, I think there's MIT, you have Oregon Health and Science University, and then I think there's one or two more. But again, each campus is different and each campus has different needs. And so, but it gave me the opportunity to look at this new system and say, okay, how can we do it? And so I was able to build it from ground up. I had a great team that helped me out. So it wasn't like I was doing all this by myself though.
Yeah, it is fascinating. I mean, there are a number of universities that I work with that have begun the process of like adding daily parking as a component of their system, as opposed to just everything's permit based. But there are very few of you that have gone to just daily and daily only, which is fascinating. And again, I mean, I wonder if you would be able to accelerate this as quickly had we not gone through a year of like weird transitional school with people being in different locations. And now people are really looking for flexible options, and daily gives them that. You know, daily is not a subsidized permit that you have to buy at the beginning of the semester. It is truly that decision on a day-to-day basis.
No, the mayor, former mayor of Chicago said, don't let any good tragedy go to waste. Yes, there was unfortunate things happen, but we took advantage of it. No, I would not have been able to go this fast. I would not have done the technology and the daily rates at the same time with 95% utilization. Right now we have about 15 to 20% utilization, and we are lower than that when we first started. So no, we just took advantage of the situation. That's all I did. Just took advantage of the situation, made it the best we could. And now when students come back in the fall, we will have this new system that we've already marketed, so they're very aware of it, and the transition is smooth. Knock on wood, it's been really smooth.
So the 15 or so percent occupancy that you have now, I mean, that's, you have probably a relatively small population that's on campus anyway for in-person classes. Who are those folks? Is it grad students, faculty, staff?
Graduate teaching assistants. We have a lot of labs, and then we also have a veterinary and medical school. And so those students are required to come on. It's hard to treat an animal across Zoom. So we've got those folks coming on. And of course, you got the essential employees, police, fire, custodial, grounds crews, things like that.
Right. And so just so I understand completely, the daily parking is not just for students. It's for staff, faculty, everybody, or is it kind of a hybrid combination?
Right now, we started January 1st, was students were required to go to a daily rate. And we wanted to take this January to July 1st is when we are going to call that daily permit day, is July 1st, DP day, is when faculty and staff will come on and be required to it, and that required to go to dailies and not have access to a monthly annual permit. So we're taking this 6 months to say, hey, what are some of the things we didn't see, you know, some issues. And we've come across a couple of, there's a small population that have bona fide needs that they can't pay for their parking on a daily basis. For example, police, fire, it's hard when you're out on a fire call to have to press every morning the park mobile button to pay for your parking. So those are some bona fide needs. We have some medical care workers, both in the animal sciences and the human sciences, that need access to the campus on a more, or need access to a permit that is a little bit longer. So what we created was our daily rate pre-purchase program. And for folks with bona fide needs, they can, at the beginning of every month, they can pay for that next month's worth of permits. And there's no refunds. So there's no going back and telling us, hey, I wasn't here these days. And our goal is to get people to say, hey, really, I'd rather just pay daily, but we'll see. And so we're addressing that unique niche. And so we say maybe out of 36,000, 40,000 people on campus, maybe 36,000 parkers, through the day with turnover. Maybe there's a 2,500 population that would need these permits. So again, it's not because it's inconvenient to pay daily. It's because you have a bona fide need.
Right, right. That makes sense. So walk me through the technology that you implemented to move from traditional permits to the daily side of things.
Well, we were looking for a partner, technology partner, pay by sale partner that has the ability to bifurcate two classes of folks, what we call on our campus affiliates and non-affiliates. Traditionally, affiliates on our campus are folks who've had access to permits. They are different various permits. These are the folks that would receive a lower daily rate that is commensurate to with what a monthly rate would be divided by the amount of parking days. And that's our affiliates. And then everybody else is our non-affiliates. And those are your visitors, your contractors, your vendors, things like that. So we needed a partner that be able to say, hey, we need to be able to bifurcate that so they can use the same zone number. And then the customer will see the right rate. And Park Mobile was able to do that. What we do is we send email addresses over to Park Mobile, and anybody who uses their Park Mobile app and has the email address that equals has access to the affiliate rates, which is a discount from our daily rate. So right now, I think our A rates are our beachfront properties, $340 a day. Our C rates, which is our general rate, is $3. And then our L, which is our liking to say a long walk, further out permits, those are $2 a day. And again, those are all based off of taking the monthly rates and dividing them by a formula. We multiplied it by 12 for a year's worth. Then there's 245 parking days in a year, and we divided it up, did the math. But again, it's being able to bifurcate the two so that we can offer a lower rate to those that what we want to call our affiliates, our students, staff, faculty, folks on campus.
Yeah, that's not bad. And I mean, honestly, $3.40 a day for premium parking doesn't feel like that's too terribly expensive. Now, of course, you do it every day, it adds up pretty quickly. But yeah, I mean, that's not a bad deal. Now, go ahead.
I want to say, and we're the reason we're running the monthly rates because we have collective bargaining agreements I'm trying to deal with. And I didn't want to have to divide the rates between the represented groups and the non-represented, and therefore charge more for the non-represented. So to keep the rates, affiliate rates equal, we had to go keeping it within our collective bargaining agreements. Of course, our future forecast, I would love to have a little bit more difference between the $3.40 and $3 rate. Love that would have been able to see $4, $3, $2. But again, we're dealing with those, and I wanted to get the program off and running.
Right. Is there a goal to begin to change those based on activity levels? So if more people cram into the premium area, that goes from $3.40 a day to, you know, $4 a day or something to that effect, to try to balance things.
We're trying to do a couple things. One is we're creating A-plus spaces, which are very, those are reserved spaces that you can reserve the day before or the day of, utilizing a Park Mobile microsite for folks who want to pay premium rates to have beachfront reserve parking from 7 a.m. to noon. And so again, that's a marketing ploy to see, hey, if there is a demand for that. The other option would be, again, is look at our A rates and maybe either reduce the quantity, the inventory, if we need to, or adjusting our inventories to ensure that we have the most efficient use of the spaces. So again, you know, we may have, you know, your traditional A, C, and L, or your high, middle, low permits are all traditionally on a university campus, maybe based on location. You know, your high levels are the high, you know, the professors have been here for 50 years and have finally went through 15 years of waiting list to get on. And then you got your middle, which is the majority of your permits. And then you got your L's, which are your long walk, long way out there in the middle of nowhere permits. Well, we're inverting the paradigm here. We're saying, hey, with daily rates and adjusting the zone numbers, if I have spaces in certain lots that are empty, an empty space is a waste. So what I have to do is, what I can do is to say, if I got C spaces that are empty in the back of a lot, I can adjust those and drop those to L to get people to park there, to move the demand. If I have too many folks in the A's, I have two options. One, I can decrease the inventory or increase the rate. I can't really increase the rate because of the collective bargaining agreements, but I can adjust the inventories, or I can create, like I said, the A plus spaces, which is a new permit structure that allows me to say, hey, you know, it costs $340 to park here, but then there's a convenience fee on top of that, which I think is $840. It comes out to $12. So if you want to pay $12 to have beachfront property, and you can't reserve it for a year, you can't, it's not your permit, you got to go into the system every day and reserve it and pay $12. This is going to be an interesting experiment. I think we're going to see a demand there. People are going to be willing to pay $12 to know that they've got a space, not a space, but you know, a zone, maybe five spaces. So it's not going to be that exact space, but there will be a space in the zone for them, waiting for them and held for them from 7 till noon. If it doesn't work, then they just fall back into the A, you know, afternoon, they become part of the A inventory and they get sold that way. That's going to be an interesting experiment. And I think we're going to see a high demand for it just because there are going to be people willing to pay that convenience fee to have access.
I'm always fascinated by, I mean, it's not the behavior of everyone, but there's always a subset of people that are attuned to having that high profile, very convenient parking, and there's no price that'll really change that. And if they can pre-reserve it, they're going to figure out how to go in and work the system to pre-reserve it at the exact time. It'll be fascinating to see that experiment. So everything is mobile pay based, or predominantly mobile pay based. Are you also doing like LPR based enforcement to yes. understand where people are? Okay. So when you said that you were going to monitor like the data, you're monitoring transactions, you're monitoring actual vehicles and the lots and things like that to see how people react to pricing and space allocation.
Correct. And again, my goal is that we had, you know, this again, the inverting the paradigm, the traditional just selling your permits and letting everything, you know, go can't happen when you're selling daily. So you've got to make sure that spaces are being filled. And so there's an aggressive data analyzation going that I'm always doing, making sure that spaces are getting filled. We're looking at top floors of our garages are traditionally empty because folks would rather shark around 3, 4, and 5 instead of going all the way to the top and getting a space right away. They'd rather try and find something closer. So why don't I lower the price? So it's cheaper. If you just go up a couple more floors, it's $1 cheaper to park, and there's more likely going to be a space there. Now, of course, when utilization gets to a point when it's averaging well above the 85-90% percentile, then yeah, we look at saying, hey, we raised the price up to a C a level. And again, the way we're trying to do that is that I have control to lower the rate to motivate demand, but I don't have the ability to raise the rate except once a year. So once I lower it, it's got to stay that way for the rest of the fiscal year. Then we go through a process of community engagement because, again, I want to be transparent with folks. And then if I decide that it's time to raise an L to a C, that at least the community had an opportunity to provide input to those changing inventory numbers.
Yeah, you know, the good thing is unlike a municipality that's trying to implement dynamic pricing that ends up having a bunch of different users that show up on different days and doesn't come. I mean, you've got the same population coming most every day. So if you can get them into a pattern once a year, observe how that pattern operates, you probably aren't too handicapped by not being able to adjust them all the time. It's just kind of figuring out how people respond to your different strategies that you have.
Yeah, when we change the rate, I mean, as we all know, people are a little more irritated if they find out if they were going to pay one rate and they have to pay more. Compared to, I thought I was going to pay $3 and I'm now paying $2. So I'm not too worried about lowering the rates to encourage demand. But even though we would do marketing and, hey, the sixth floor pavilion garage is now an L rate. Come on, take advantage of it. Sell those spaces. We will be out selling spaces, getting folks to park. because again, our goal on the university, and one of the main reasons that the Transportation Tomorrow consultation went through, is that the campus does not want to build any more parking. We have plenty of parking. It's just that, as we all know, it's not where everybody wants it. So we're using this daily rate system and a system of tiered rates to get people to move around and park where we need them to park, fill every space. And then if we get to a point where we're having a utilization rate of 100% or more, whatever that utilization analysis is, then maybe we look at additional parking. But we're hopefully, we get 5-10 years down the road, we look at more and more folks have other means of transportation. Who knows what's coming down the line regarding mass transit vehicles? I mean, who thought of Uber and Lyft 15 years ago, 10 years ago when we first started this? So we don't know what's coming, but we do know we don't want to drop another garage on campus. The expense is too much, and we would basically just become a builder of parking, and to keep our rates somewhere moderately affordable, we would have to discontinue a lot of all these other services we're doing. We're building roadways, we're building bike paths. The money we generate from parking and parking revenue builds the bike paths on our campus. We have during normal times, we have about 40% of our population rides bikes to campus. I mean, only one school beats us out, and that's Stanford. And I'm still trying to talk to Brian about how he does it so I can sneak some of his things. But, you know, we have 18,000 parking spaces on campus. We have 36,000 bicycle spaces, our bicycle rack type things on campus. So we are a bike campus. We put bike paths down. We do everything we can to encourage folks to ride their bikes. And with daily rates, it incentivizes it. Again, when I mentioned inverted the paradigm, with traditional monthly permits, your single occupancy vehicle choice is first. I mean, I already paid for the parking. Why should I ride my bike? Yeah. Why should I walk? Why should I whatever to car share, whatever, carpool? Why should I do any of that? I already paid for it.
Yeah, it's so a sunk that, cost.
Yeah, and that's your SOV puts it on the first. What we've done is said, inverted the paradigm, your SOV is your last choice. Yes, there's folks that have to bypass the walking, biking, horse riding, whatever they're doing to come to campus for many reasons. They don't live in the area, they have their families, they have children. We all understand that, but we talk about 15% of folks will never do alternative transportation, right? We understand that there's 15% of folks out there who will always drive, have to drive. There's nothing they can do. There would be nothing we could ever do to get them not to drive SOV. There's 15% of folks who probably will never SOV. They will always use alternative transport needs because whatever, they live across the street, whatever their reason is. 70% of folks are those that are in between. And if we just get 10% of our parkers, that's 1,800 spaces. 1,800 spaces is a garage, just 10%. And if we can give, by giving daily rates, and we can get folks to say, hey, maybe I will do something different this year. Maybe I will do, you know, I've never thought of it before, but this might be my opportunity, just 10%. Imagine how much we would be reducing demand on campus. Well, and another thing, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, a lot of people, I think the misconception is when you do TDM or you're trying to implement a TDM program is that you want everybody to take alternative means, but you just hit the nail on the head. We're trying to move the needle enough that we're keeping ourselves from having to invest. And oh, by the way, an 1,800 space parking garage is about $45 to $55 million. So not only did you save that, but you saved a ton of money that you can then reinvest in bikes and micromobility and the buses behind you and things like that. So it's not a zero sum game to try to move 10% of the population, because it has a huge, huge impact.
Exactly. And that's just what we're trying to accomplish here at UC Davis.
So, I mean, the big steps with TDM, you know, the daily parking, behavior change, the technology, what comes after daily parking? Once you have that riddle working and solved, what are the next steps in the transportation plan?
Well, one of the other technologies that we have like a three-tier system that we three-phase system. First phase was the daily rates and the LPR. Second phase is inventory, I want to say analysis, but inventory, you know, telling folks where the spaces are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's off the top of my, but basically an app that says, hey, these lots have are green, these lots are yellow, these are lots are red. And traditionally we all know that there's a large infrastructure that would require, if you want near real time, non-algorithmic tech, you know, things to do, are to provide that data. So that's our next phase, is getting a vendor to come in and provide us with an app and a plan to provide the using of AI cameras, license plate technology, license LPR cameras, PUCs. We have lots of trees on our campus. Where Davis is the tree city of California. And so it's hard to just put these cameras and think you're going to cover a whole lot. The whole lot's got tons of trees on it, and it would just be cost prohibitive to put all these cameras to do that. So it's got to be a hybrid system. And so we're looking, our next phase, which I'm about ready to release the RFP, we'll look for that, for a partner or partners that will come in and help me provide that inventory data, inventory status update in near real time. So again, we can let our folks know, stop lot sharking. You know, if it says red, go find somewhere else to park. And they have people decide when they leave home, or, you know, when they safely get to campus and pull over the side of the road safely, look at their app and say, okay, I know which lot I'm going to park, because it's there. They've made that decision and they can go park that, you know, where there is, instead of trying to find a place.
Excellent. Yeah, that's good. I mean, the more we can change behavior and give them better information, you reduce congestion, you reduce safe points where people are interacting with pedestrians. That's fantastic. So that's good. Well, so last question for you. You started on January 2020. You had, 2 months of regular work on campus. Obviously, I'm guessing you're excited for hopefully the fall when people start coming back to campus. What do you think campus is going to look like when we come out of the other side of this pandemic? Is it going to go back to where it was, or are we going to have kind of a whole new approach to academic education?
I think our university is looking at telework. So on the faculty staff, not the faculty side, but the staff side, I'm co-chairing a campus committee on continuing telework continuing it on post-pandemic. Now, HR, I have an HR person who's my co-chair, and I'm on this side, and my goal is TDM. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Southern California, but you know, I think you remember SIG alerts and, yeah, you know, big problems. Well, generally, based on events, traditional data, you know, the data that you're getting, usage patterns, you can determine when you're going to have a SIG alert parking, a Parkageddon coming. You know, you got a football game on a Thursday afternoon, you know, it's not the best time to have a football game. But maybe if you could say, hey, campus, we've got all these policies, procedures, everything in place, we've got all the tools that have already been issued, everything's ready to go. That Thursday is a telework day. We highly recommend you telework. So if we just get, again, you know, the majority of our folks who could have some form of telework that day, think about the demand drop that would be, the available spaces. Commencement is another one that happens on a work day, getting folks to stay home and work from home. At the same time, when they stay home and don't work, come to the office, they don't pay to park. There's the reward there. Hey, they just saved themselves $3 for not coming to work. They can go to lunch at home or something like that. So that's kind of where we're trying to get to, is get this information out so that we can motivate demand and utilize that as a tool.
Yeah, that's excellent. And that's where I'm in the same place. I think campuses are going to look a lot different come fall 2021 when we start getting people back in a more realistic fashion. I go a step further. I think you're going to have work from home in a hybrid manner for faculty staff.
Oh, hybrid.
I would not be surprised if there's even hybrid academic, where, you know, some of your bigger classes may go into the online environment with labs and hands-on type classes. I don't know. I just think we on the TDM side of this equation have been kind of battling with this for a long time. And it's like you said, let no tragedy go unwasted. I mean, we basically are looking at new opportunities now to begin to shift the way people behave. So really interesting times.
Yeah. And you know, this fall, this upcoming fall, I don't see mass transit being used. I see bicycles being used coming back. But I see that there's going to be, you know, on our campus, there seems to be a big push that the campus experience, that students are missing out on that. So I don't know if how many of those hybrid classes you might have that are teleclass or distance learning type things. Our university is very residential focused, very regionally focused. So a lot of folks come to the campus for the experience.
Yeah.
So therefore, what we're going to see is, at least from the student side, is a much, from those off campus, we're going to still see the large student population on campus. Again, what we're trying to address are the staff who can telework. So again, to keep our demands down, so our parking demands, so that we don't breach the traditional 100% theoretical line of the past. And that's our goal. We're also looking at some other things internally about how we might want to address over demand. Because again, with a daily rate system, it's not like I can turn off the permits. Yeah, I could turn off the daily rates when we, you know, I can turn off Park Mobile at a certain level, but still that doesn't stop a lot of folks from still trying to come to campus. So those are the concerns I'm dealing with is, okay, people are going to start saying, oh, wow, $3 instead of $10, I'm going to start driving to campus. Well, we got to, internally, we're going to say, okay, maybe freshmen and sophomore resident students are excluded from the affiliate rates. So we can control who are affiliates. And remove them from it, and then they end up paying $12 a day, and I don't know how excited they'd be about paying $12 over riding their bicycle. Okay, I guess I'll ride my bike.
Yeah, if you train them, I mean, you're in California, the weather's pretty well perfect, so I mean, you can ride your bike whenever you need to. So, well, that's excellent, Perry. I really appreciate you taking the time. It's exciting, all the things that are going on, and in short order. So, thanks for joining us today, and wish you luck the rest of the semester, and hope things start getting back to new normal pretty soon.
I hope so too. I'm ready to actually see if this daily rate thing works.
I think you're going to be in good shape come fall when you start really seeing it come to fruition. So, well, thanks. I appreciate
it. Well, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the ParkerX podcast. We sincerely appreciate it and hope you are enjoying our content. Please remember to rate, review, comment, subscribe, and share. And follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. The following has been a production of ParkerX.